Continue, and we will be preaching for a few more weeks on the book. So it would be well for you, if you haven't, continue to read it. And hopefully the messages that I share, some of the passages of Scripture you have already read, will come to light and will help you in your individual life. We have looked at the man and the upright man and some of the basic characteristics of what you will find in one who is walking upright. And also, the book of Proverbs deals, if you will, with the aspect of friendship, the marks of a true friend. And it tells you what those marks are and how important and significant they are in the relationship that we have. You see, a true friend really is somebody who knows all there is to know about you, but they still love you. Okay? Probably no one knows that any better than the wife or the husband that you live with, right? You see, the songwriter put it this way: what a friend we have in Jesus. What a friend we have in Jesus, who will all our sorrow share. You see, Jesus knows our every weakness. There's nothing hidden from Him that He doesn't know about us, but He still loves us. Amen? But what a friend we have in Him. You see, there have been essays, there have been books, there are all kinds of concepts out there that you can read, from Emerson to our Bacon, to all these basic classes they have out there and how to build relationships and et cetera, and positive thinking, all those that relate to something about this. But the point is that when you and I think of what Proverbs has to say about friendship, you'll see that there is no greater illustration in the context of Scripture than what was revealed to us in the book of Samuel between David and Jonathan. There's something about the relationship of those two men that the Holy Spirit expressly brings out to us in relationships that was so pure. Jonathan, the Bible tells us in Samuel, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. They were friends. They were knit friends. They were unique friends in every aspect of God. Jonathan loved David, the Bible says, as his own soul. Man, that'd be great if every husband and wife could have that type of relationship too, right? Huh? Where the souls are knit. They love one another with the whole being and aspects of who they are as one another. You see? So in the book of Proverbs, it would be well for us just to kind of glance through it and look at what it has to say about the marks of a true friend. You see, the makings and the concepts are brevity, they're short, they're truthful, and some also warn us. Okay? For instance, Proverbs 27:10. Proverbs 27:10 says, "Do not forsake your own friend or your father's friends." Don't forsake them. Stay committed to them. You see, if you want to have friends, then you need to be a friend, you know? And it's interesting here that I believe what the writer is telling us is that you need to be loyal to the friendships that you have. You know how many people just all the time are talking about, well, nobody does this, nobody visits me, nobody does this for me, no, on and on and on and on and on. And my question would be, well, what do you do? Luke 6:36 says, "Give and it will be given to you, pressed down, overflowing, poured over into your lap, because by the same measure you measure it out, it will be measured back to you." Friendships are created. They are made, and they are continually to be kept by not forsaking them. Remain faithful to them. Those friendships are important. They have to become important to you that you will do anything to maintain it. It is not the saying that in the midst of life's busyness and all the things that we got going on and family and circumstances and whatever, they think about maintaining a relationship with those who are friends of the family. Think about it. Is not our culture falling to pieces? You know how many people don't even know the person living next to them? Don't know their name, don't know who they are, don't have any way, and they have no interest in creating a friendship with them. Think about the aspects of friendship that is such an important role in creating culture and commitment and unity and harmony within any society that you and I know. Remember the friends of your family. I have birthdays. Well, I'm not going to go in what I do, but baseball, you have to remember the friends of your family. And you also have to be loyal to those friendships that are related to you. Don't forsake them. We can be so forgetful. We can become so self-interested and so wrapped up in our own lives that we don't do what we need to do to maintain friendships. They're important. They really are. Okay? And one of the basic qualities of friendship is what I would call constancy, continuous, whatever. Because Proverbs 17:17, if you read it, says, a friend loves at all times. A friend loves at all times. That means continuous, all the time. Not sometimes, all the time. The friend loves at all times, you see. Seems to many friendships are always a reason why or a purpose behind it or something I want or I want to get something from a person so I'll be their friend or whatever it might be, okay? But a true friend will love all the time, not because they want something, because they want you. They want a relationship with you. We have statements such as, they're business friends, they're business partners, or how about fair weather fans, friends? Have you ever heard that one? Huh? Yeah, you have. And so we have those kind of statements, but if you'll notice the second half of the verse, it says, and a brother is born for adversity. You see, a true friend is going to be the one that's going to be there when you're going through adversity. They're going to stay with you. They're going to walk with you. They're going to encourage you. They're going to be right there. In fact, a true friend, according to the love all the time, Bible says love bears all things in 1 Corinthians 13. You know what that word means? Bear? The background of the word? You remember the story of Jesus and walking along the sea and both footprints are in the sand? And then the storm comes and the wind blows and whatever, and all of a sudden there's only one track in the sand. And the person after the storm is over says, why did you leave me? Why did you forsake me? When I was going through the storm, you left me. And what did he say? Oh, he said, no, I didn't leave you. I carried you. Okay? You know what that is? That's the word bear. Bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. Get on my back. I'll carry you. That's the background of that Greek word, is that you are going to be so committed to this person, this friend, that you're going to, when they're in adversity, you're going to invite them to get on your back and you're going to bear what they're going through. Carry them through it. Carry them through it. That's what it means. And the aspects of that. What a blessing to have a brother in Christ or a sister or whatever that will, in your time of trouble, that they will be there for you to help you, to encourage you, to strengthen you, to walk with you, carry you, whatever. That is true friendship. That is true commitment. One that we can share our good news with, and they will, or our misfortune, and they will make a victory out of every aspect of our lives. That's true friendship. True friendship is that they make our burden lighter. A true friend is a brother or sister in Christ who builds our confidence in ourselves, makes us feel good about who we are, an aspect. They give our confidence. In their kindness, they share our weaknesses. And in their strength, they share the blessings of our lives, and whatever they may be. No more noble can be a person who's willing to get along beside me and walk through life with me. Man, what a blessing that would be in marriages today if we had those kind of friendship. You know, if you're going to marry somebody, the first quality you better find is that you build a good friendship. All you've been married for 50 years or more, say amen. Amen, that's as loud as you can say it. You know, think about it. Because what a true friend is like is a brother and sister that we are loved and they love us no matter what. I know, you're saying right now, you got a good one, Bill. You got a great friend in Marilyn. She loves you no matter what. Well, let me ask you this. Does that sound like Jesus? John 15, what did he say? He said, I no longer call you a servant. What did he say? If you love me, I love you. What did he say? I'll call you a friend. What would you have? You'd rather have a master that you're serving or a friend. Jesus doesn't want you to just see him as the Lord and the master of your life. He wants you to see him as your friend. He's on your side. He's walked through the same path you walk through. He's been tempted in every way like you are. He feels and empathizes with you. He shares your life with you. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. On and on. You won't find a better friend than Jesus. He won't let you down. How many people have let you down? Think about it. He won't. What a friend we have in Jesus. How about keeping those friends, okay? One thing, you know, as we've already said, a true friend loves continuously, okay? But it also says that he who ceases to be your friend was never a friend in the first place. Think about the prodigal son. He went out, took everything he had, and the Bible says he had a lot of what? Friends. He spent it all, shared it all, went out and riotous living, drinking, doing whatever, partying, lost it all. Where'd these friends go? Once he had and it was all gone, they were gone, right? He ended up all alone, if you will, in the pig pen. But what I'm saying is the aspect is, well, we get there, you need to choose your friends wisely, okay? The only way to make a friend, I know, is to be one. I know that for a fact, okay? And one asks, why is some people have more friends than others? Why is it that you look at people and they have all these friends and people involved in their lives and all that aspect of it? I really believe, I touched on it last week, I believe the jewel, the pearl, if you will, of friendship is found in Proverbs 19:22. And I believe this is true for women, men, doesn't matter. What he says here, I believe, is a foundation of all relationship. It says that which makes a man or a woman or anyone to be desired is their kindness. Remember that? Remember that? This is certainly a disposition of one's life. It really is. You see, that type of disposition, if it possesses you, and that is who you are, a kind person, then you will bear the weaknesses of others. Okay? And you will not look at other people's faults. That's not what you're going to look for if you're kind. Anybody here, if somebody really wanted to look into you, couldn't find some faults? Anybody here totally, completely perfect? Or would you say you have some faults? Well, how in the world then, when you think about love is kind, kindness is that quality that accepts other people for who they are no matter what. It really does. It really does. When God said to you and me, love is kind, Bible says in Romans 8, that while Romans 5, while we were all yet sinners, we were all separated, unreconciled to God, We were enmity with him. We were enemies of God. He commended his love toward us. Know what it says? His kindness, his mercy, his grace, all of that was commended to us even though we were not his friends. He expressed that to you and me. I thank him. It's said that the reason a dog has more friends than people is because they wag their tails instead of their tongues. I thought that's pretty interesting. You see, the clever person, the cynic, can find many occasions to ridicule the speech or the mannerism or the ideas of other people and those around them. They can use wit as a barb knife into the side of an individual and expose them and hurt them and in every aspect of life. I mean, that's what a lot of people do. At somebody else's expense, they use humor to make them look like fools. Small. Witty. And I hear it all the time. People making fun of mannerisms or the way they pick their nose or whatever. You didn't know it, but I got in a nose beauty contest. And I have the most beautiful nose in the world because it's hand-picked. Now, there's a friend here that loves me enough that when I have a little thing hanging from my nose, he exposes it. Now, that doesn't bother me because you know what? He's saving me from being embarrassed when I find out that that's what was happening and everybody's seeing it. I thank him for doing that. Somebody sees something on my tie, or somebody sees your skirt is way lower, or than what it ought to be, or you got your collar back here and it's sticking out, and whatever. I don't know about you. I appreciate people who care enough about me. They point out those things that makes me look better. And they don't go around, oh, did you see so-and-so? Did you see he had his collar out? Oh, did you see the skirt is below me? Whatever, and start telling everyone about it. Remember that. Did you know that Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, I know that's not a proverb, but Paul said these words to the church at Ephesus. He states in Ephesians 5, 4, and there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but the giving of thanks. You know what coarse jesting is? It's making fun of other people. Using them and making fun of them for your own self-benefit. That's coarse jesting. Now, how many times do you hear people doing that at somebody else's expense? You ever thought what that's doing to that person? How that's affecting an individual that you there in front of other people, maybe their friends or their family, and you're showing or you're using some mannerism or something there, and you're coarse jesting, and they hear it. You know what that does internally to a person? You know how much that must hurt them to have that happening, and they're being the pawn, if you will, like a barb piece of wire sticking into their side. Think about it next time. Because Paul said, no silly talking or coarse jesting. Nothing, right? Well, how about this one? Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Says, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth. Okay? You know what that means? That means when I talk about Al, and I say anything to or about him, it's going to make Al feel whole. We use words to tear people's lives apart, don't we? Huh? We can use words to cut them asunder, can't we? Wholesome means you put people's lives together. They feel whole. They feel better. They feel good. They feel strengthened. They feel encouraged by the words that are coming out of your mouth. And then it goes on and says, not only a wholesome word, but only a word as is good for edification. What does edifying mean? Building up. Building up. Building up, okay? According to the need of the moment. So that it will, are you listening? So that it will give grace to the hearer. Wow. That's kindness. That's graciousness. That's making somebody feel better about who they are. When you speak to a person, you make sure that the words that are coming out of your mouth are going to make that person feel complete and whole. Got it? That's what it says, isn't it? Okay. You see, a true friend would never, never, never inflict pain upon another person needlessly. Never. To be kind is to be generous, helpful, and if need be, forgiving. If need be. Okay? Lastly, another aspect of true friendship is frankness. I think I heard somebody say something about that just a little bit ago here. Frankness. My name isn't Frank. Okay? But Proverbs 27 and 6. Proverbs 27 and 6 says, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. But the kisses of an enemy are profuse. Kisses of an enemy are profuse. They stink. But faithful are the wounds of a friend. Why do you go to a doctor? Don't you go to the doctor for him to tell you the truth and to be frank with you, up front with you, and tell you what the problem is and what can be done? If you were going to go to a counselor, a minister, whatever, wouldn't you go to them with the understanding that you wanted them to share you the truth about God's Word and what it says in relationship to whatever might be going on in your personal life? Don't you want the truth? Huh? Don't you want somebody to be willing to tell you the truth? Some of you are having trouble with this. Okay. But blessed, I'm telling you this morning, you are blessed if you have a person who is a true friend that they can go and they can confront you and they can be honest with you and in a loving way, in a kind way, they can be frank with you and objective to you and help you to see that maybe, just maybe, there's something going on in your life you need to look at. I've had those kind of friends. Haven't you had those kind of friends? I'm sure we all have. It's far better to be rebuked and told the plain truth if indeed one is going on the wrong direction, going in the wrong road, and they need somebody to love them enough to tell them. Right? Remember what Proverbs 14:12 said? And you'll find it throughout the book of Proverbs. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death, destruction, whatever. So why would we want to, if we're a true friend, allow a person to keep walking down a road that we know is going to lead to their destruction? Why would we not want to be a detour? Somebody to stand in the way and say, I love you, and I just don't know it if not, but you realize that according to the Word of God, you're going the wrong way. Okay? That's a true friend. There is a way which seems right. But a true friend is one who has my best interest in mind, who loves me enough, and is a true friend that I have learned and I know I can trust. Right? I can trust Marilyn. I can trust her. And I know that when Marilyn points something out in my life, she's objective. She loves me, and I better take it serious. Some of your best objective friends is your husband and your wife. One of the problems we have in our lives is we have trouble with accepting criticism. Don't we? You know what Proverbs said, you remember? Only a fool cannot accept criticism. Okay? What is a critic? Critic, again, is only someone that's going to point out a fault, right? And why would they point that fault out? Because they're my friend. They love me. They care. Remember what it said. A faithful friend. a faithful friend wounds. Remember, faithful, that word, okay? And of course, we must be able to do and accept criticism and admit it. Remember Proverbs 28:13 says, "He that covereth his transgression shall not prosper, but whoever confesses and forsakes them shall find mercy." Wow. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for the mercy of God's people. Thank you, God, for your mercy, etc. Proverbs 11:14 says, "Where no wise guidance is given to the people fall. But in multitudes of counselors, there is safety." I mean, look at our country today. Look at how it is deteriorating internally and what is happening about our moral values and how the level of values have fallen. And then look at the examples that have been there in the top of the rung of the ladder in our political world and what is being and propagated, etc., as far as our world is concerned. There is unbelievable aspects of what a king or president, whoever, the impact and the influence they have. Don't ever forget, a little leaven leavens a whole nation. It can. It has. And I just pray to God that whoever is being selected in the cabinet and whatever will be God-fearing people. For somehow we have got to restore in our nation a respect and a fear of God. Because no fear of God, no guidance, no wisdom, no common sense, nothing. Because I really believe wisdom comes from God. That's what it said, remember? So several proverbs concerning friendships are there direct, they're personal, they're explicit. Proverbs 22, 24, and 25 says, "Make no friends with a man given to anger, or with a wrathful man, or you will learn his ways and find a snare to your own soul." Amazing, isn't it? Proverbs 16:28. "A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends." Wow. Separates them by just simply lying about someone. Slandering. Slandering is a lie disguised to destroy another person. Well, we're seeing that all the time in our political world today, isn't it? It's crazy. It really is. 1 Corinthians 15:33 simply states, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." So choose your friends well. Okay? Make sure they're upright. Make sure they're honest. Make sure they're God-fearing. Make sure they know the Word. And make sure they're trustworthy. Evaluate them. You know? I'd say that marriage is a product of love. Love is blind. Therefore, marriage is an institution for the blind. And how many times have we gone into a relationship blind? Basically. And how many times has that been that people have, whole lives have been completely destroyed because of it? My daughter got married, all wrapped up in 15 years of age, and gone through 30-some years of hell because she wasn't and she didn't know how to pick and select. And she knew within the first year she had made a big mistake. But you know what? My daughter's goal was to be the best wife that God wanted her to be. And she was loyal. And loyal, and loyal, and loyal, and loyal. All those years, she just stayed there, thinking that maybe if she loved him enough and done enough, he would change. But she didn't know she was living with a man who is empowered by, I believe, a spirit of the world. A psychopaths are growing like wildfire in our country today. Narcissism is an unbelievable. I've been studying it, researching it, and it is amazing how it is destroying homes and families and children. You can't believe the impact that it's having upon our children today and how it is that these people, and women can be just as bad, if not worse, than a male. I'm serious. Because the selfish, carnal-minded, undisciplined, godless person, a void of any recognition of God and no fear of God, they are the ones that are referred to through the book of Proverbs over and over, and they're called a fool. They're called fools over and over and over and over. You read it. How many times did you see the word fool as you read through the book of Proverbs? Fool. A fool is people who have knowledge, but they don't have any recognition how to use it properly. Okay? You see, being a friend is warm and growing touch. It's words of kindness that mean so much. Though days and years that bond has grown, a blessing only friends have known. Being friends holds a meaning true. It's time wrapped up in things that we do. And I'm so glad to God that I've found friends like you. I don't just see you as my brothers and sisters in Christ. I see you as a friend, a true friend. And I know I can trust you. I know that we can walk together through life and that I can and I will share your burdens. I will do whatever I can to help you get through this world that we live in today. And let's do it together. If anyone should be true friends, it should be God's people. Loving one another and caring about one another. And don't forget what Jesus said, okay? Don't forget what he said. I mean, he said these words. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. That's a command, that we love one another. Okay, Doug? Got it? I don't care. You got to love me anyway. Right? Right, Bud? Huh? Right, Jim? Okay. All right? How about it, Mike? How about James? Yep. We're supposed to just love. We're commanded. Love is a verb. It can be commanded. You know that? Yeah, he commands us to love. Greater love has no one this, that one laid down his life for his friends. Greater love. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. I have called you friends. For all things that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me. I chose you. You didn't choose me. I chose you. How about that? I chose you to be my friend. And appointed you that you would go and bear fruit and that your fruit would remain so that whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give to you. This I command you. That you love one another. That you love one another. Let's be friends. Okay? And let's just share one another's burdens. And if need be, let's be honest and loving and kind enough to be, and frank if we have to be. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Right? Right? And let's be humble enough that we can accept criticism if need be. For whatever benefit it might be in our individual life. But love me forever. Love is eternal, right? Now abides faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love, because love will never come to an end. Okay? So I love you. I know you love me. I know you love Marilyn. Thank you for your prayers for her. I guarantee you, I just know God's going to get her through this. And she'll be back on her feet and back with us in the future, but keep praying for it, okay? Let's stand together. We're going to sing What a Friend We Have in Jesus.